This morning, my lesson is about how you and I can help the church by being encouragers. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 11, the Apostle Paul writes this sentence: "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up." It's amazing how many times in different churches and circumstances the New Testament encourages the members to be encouragers. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, the gift of encouragement is identified as a gift which a person may have. And the Apostle Paul says, "You exercise that gift to the full extent possible." In the book of Corinthians, after they had had some trouble in that church, the Apostle Paul wrote in the second letter, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration," that is, to come back together in peace, "encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." The writer of Hebrews in the New Testament says, "Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." And so this matter of encouraging one another is stressed throughout the New Testament. I was reading a brief biography of Albert Schweitzer, and I came across something that is quoted in the article that Albert Schweitzer said. You may remember him. He was a renowned musician. He had a PhD in music. I think he had a PhD in about three different subjects. But he decided that he needed to become a missionary. He became a medical doctor, and then he wanted to do mission work in Africa, and he devoted his life to being a missionary in Africa. And so he went back and got a PhD in theology. Here's what Albert Schweitzer said that is appropriate for our lesson today. "At times, our own light goes out, and it is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us." It's kind of hard to imagine somebody as successful and as brilliant as Albert Schweitzer was to have that very common feeling that there are times when our own light goes out, but it becomes rekindled by a spark from another person. I think that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. There'll be times in the church when different members will become discouraged and their light kind of goes out. But you and I, as fellow members of that church, should rekindle by a spark that light in that other person's life. A discouraged person is largely useless. He may be very talented, he may have great opportunities, but if he is discouraged, he fails to take advantage of the opportunities or to use his talents. A discouraged person does not have personal joy or peace, and that's why it is out of love for each other that we should be encouragers of each other. What does it mean to encourage one another? It means we build each other up. It means we inspire and motivate to do and to be the very best that they can possibly be. The original word in the Greek language for encouragement conveys the idea of standing alongside of. When you encourage someone, you identify with them and you stand alongside of them and they feel your presence and your help. If you want to help where help is most needed, learn how to encourage people. There are some people who have a natural talent for that. When I came in, I looked across the foyer and I saw Sarah Campbell with us. And I was just been wondering when she was going to be back with us. And she's a great encourager. Just her presence gives everybody a sense of strength and a desire to be a better person. There's a story in the life of David that is appropriate because it sometimes is necessary for us to encourage ourselves. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, it is when David is living as a young man among the Philistines, and he's doing battle not only with King Saul, but also with the Amalekites. And he and his men leave their camp and they go to another place to do battle, and then they return to Ziklag, where their camp was and where they had left their wives and children. And when they came to Ziklag, they found that that encampment had been burned to the ground and that all the women and children had been taken hostage by the Amalekites. Well, you can imagine how disturbed those warriors were when they came back, and they not only were very discouraged, they decided that the blame belonged on David for having left no one there to guard the camp and to lead them off into a battle at a distant place. And so the Bible, in describing this event, describes how that they were very distraught, and David sensed that they were thinking about taking and stoning him. In chapter 30 and verse 6, the statement is made. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. Then this phrase, but David found strength in the Lord his God. That's the reading in the New International Version. In the King James that I learned as a young person, it says, and David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. A little different emphasis. Both emphases can be true. Whenever we are discouraged ourselves, or perhaps not encouraged, feeling down and feeling overwhelmed, it is good if we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And it is also true that the Lord strengthens us when we go to him in with our troubles. One of my favorite statements in the New Testament is this one. It's quoting from the Old Testament, and it says, cast all your anxieties upon the Lord because he cares for you. And many of us maybe have faced situations and concerns, and we finally don't see any solution to them, but we finally just say, okay, Lord, I'm turning this over to you. You handle the problem for me. And what we found in our experience is that when we do that, sure enough, the Lord does find a way for us to go on when we thought we'd come to the end of our rope. The ability to encourage yourself is very important because sometimes you're alone and there's nobody around that can encourage you. David, in this situation, did not encourage himself by denying the difficulty that he faced. He had a very realistic view of his situation. He knew that his soldiers were thinking about killing him because, in their mind, he was responsible for the kidnapping and taking of their children and wives. He did not encourage himself by any notion of grandeur, as if at that point in time acting like he's suddenly the king, when in fact he was in danger of his own men. And he did not encourage himself by blaming others and saying, well, it's not my fault, it's somebody else's fault. You have to have the ability to encourage yourself by being realistic and by going to the Lord for that encouragement. It is so easy to encourage yourself when things are going well or they are not that bad. It may be almost impossible to encourage yourself when things are really bad. And that's why we need to encourage each other. We are to encourage one another because a person may not be able to encourage himself. As Schweitzer said, our own light goes out and it has to be rekindled by a spark from another person. You perhaps are thinking of your own life and you think of how true that has been, that the time when you were most discouraged in life, there was somebody who came along and sparked that light again within you that changed your life. I mentioned Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, in which Paul lists as a special gift in the gifts of to encourage the church, and that is the gift of encouragement. Often, we encourage people by words or acts of kindness, and sometimes mere presence, just standing alongside of. I said that the root meaning of the word courage in the Greek language means to stand alongside of somebody. If they just know that you're there and that your sympathies are for them and with them, can mean a great difference in their lives. The greatest model of what it means to be an encourager was the character in the New Testament named Barnabas. That really wasn't his name. His name was Joseph. But he was so good at encouraging the church and encouraging the apostles in Jerusalem that the apostles gave him the new name of Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. There are about four different places in the book of Acts in which Barnabas shows the gift of encouragement. The early church began with, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people being baptized. Many of these were visitors to Jerusalem who had come for the annual festival. And so they were in need. They didn't have the resources. They didn't live there. And it was necessary for the church to come together and to support one another in their daily needs. We first are introduced to Barnabas as this model of encouragement because he slipped away out of Jerusalem and went over to where his family owned some land, and he sold that land and brought the proceeds of that sale to the apostles and laid it at the apostles' feet and said, take this money and use it in supporting the believers in the church. That generosity is what sparked the apostles to say he is the son of encouragement. And so encouragement sometimes requires us to be generous. And this church is an example of generosity in many ways. Another incident in which we find Barnabas is the model of being an encourager is when the Apostle Paul has been converted. He was on his way to Damascus, of course, as the great persecutor of the church. And he had a vision along the way, and he saw the Lord. And he went into Damascus, and after a few days of blindness, his sight was restored, and he was baptized, and he began to preach in Damascus and the surrounding areas. Then it was necessary for him to leave Damascus and return to Jerusalem. But when he came to Jerusalem, much, I'm sure, to his surprise, the church did not accept him. They thought it was simply a ruse to find out where the disciples were meeting in order to have them arrested and placed into jail. Even the apostles refused to meet with him and to accept him. Barnabas, however, must have talked with him, and he became convinced that what the Apostle Paul was saying about his conversion was true. And it is Barnabas who brought together the apostles and Paul and brought them into fellowship with others, with each other. Believing in other people, believing the best about other people, is one of the characteristics of being an encourager. A third story is told about Barnabas. When the people were scattered abroad from the persecution that Saul of Tarsus made on Jerusalem, some went as far as Antioch, and they began to speak about Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, which was at first an unbelievable step for some to take in the church. And they had such success at Antioch that the news about it reached the apostles. And the apostles needed to know what was going on and whether this was really something that the church should be doing, of reaching out to Gentiles with the gospel or not. And so they chose a delegation to go and inspect it. And one of the people that they chose to send was Barnabas. And when he arrived, even though Barnabas was a Jew and deeply embedded in the Jewish ideas and prejudices, perhaps, by early training, when he came and found the Gentiles believing in Jesus Christ, he rejoiced with them. And he put aside any prejudices that he may ever have had. And he encouraged those Gentile Christians and went back and reported to the apostles what a wonderful work it was. I think a generous person who is an encourager cannot buy into the prejudices of others, because it would prevent us from being encouragers to many people who need that encouragement. The fourth narrative about Barnabas in the New Testament, the book of Acts, which gives us a glimpse as to what it means to be an encourager. When he and the Apostle Paul went on their first missionary tour, they took with them a young man named John Mark. Now, John Mark, as a boy, teenager, was around Jesus and the apostles. His mother's home was the place where Jesus often met and his disciples in Jerusalem. There's some indication that Barnabas was related by, in some way, to John Mark. In any event, when Paul and Barnabas decided to go evangelize the world, John Mark wanted to go with them and went for a while. But then when they came to Perga, John Mark sort of lost his nerve and went back home to Jerusalem and left the missionary venture. Well, time passes and There comes a time when Paul says to Barnabas, we ought to go back to where we were and where we established churches and see how they're doing. And Barnabas thought that was a good idea, and so he agreed to go. But then Barnabas insisted that they take John Mark with them on the second tour. And I think in this, the Apostle Paul is not blameless. Paul disagreed with that, and he refused to give John Mark a second chance. He said, John Mark turned back on us when he had the chance to go with us. I'm not giving him a second chance. And this disagreement between these two wonderful men of the New Testament, Barnabas and Paul, became so great that even the brethren could not get them together in a compromise. And they went their separate ways. And Barnabas took John Mark and went in one direction, and Paul took Silas and went into another. Well, much later, many years later, the Apostle Paul will acknowledge that John Mark was a very profitable person in the church. I think the Apostle Paul realized he was wrong in his attitude of not giving John Mark the second chance. An encourager is a person who believes in people and is that person that is standing with them when they are asking for another chance in life. How may we encourage one another? Well, certainly one way we encourage each other is, as we're done this Lord's Day, we meet for worship. And the singing together and the moments we have to pass time together is an encouragement. I look forward every week to this day. I hope you do also. I draw encouragement from you, and I hope you draw encouragement from me. And so meeting for worship is one way that we encourage one another. Staying in touch with each other is important. It's a wonderful world we have today of communication, that you can not only telephone somebody or you can send an email to somebody, you can be in touch with somebody who's going through a tough time and letting them know that you are there and you believe in them. One of the ways that we encourage each other in our public worship is through our songs. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's why having a good song service like we've had this morning is important to our assembly. Because when we read the words and sing the words, we are singing them to each other. The final suggestion is to remember people in your prayers. I've encouraged you to remember certain ones who are going through treatment for illness and to remember them in your daily prayers. Sometimes all that that means is that you just say, Lord, I want you to remember Larry or Cindy or somebody, and just give their name and just say, Lord, whatever they need, I'm praying that they receive it from you. And that means so much to be remembered in prayers. Pray one for another is the admonition of Scripture. Well, I'm going to bring this to a close. All I wanted to do today was to encourage you in doing what you already do. So many of you are great encouragers to me personally. Could not have survived in many circumstances if it were not for your encouragement. You've revived me. When the light went out in my own life, you were there and you struck the light again. And that's what we are to mean to each other, especially as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. The fellowship of the church is so important. I've had it all my life. I felt it as a child. Church was a place where we went and we accepted each other, and we were loving toward each other, and we were helpful to each other. I have known that to be true all of my existence. I hope if you have not experienced that, that you will become part of the church, because it is the most wonderful fellowship that you can have to be a brother or sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord adds to the church daily those who are being saved, Acts 2:38. When on the day of Pentecost they asked Peter, what should they do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And later in that chapter, as they were baptizing 3,000 that day and many more the following days, the scripture tells us that the Lord was adding these people who were being baptized to his church. That's all that we want to be here, is the church that Jesus Christ established. And so if you're here subject to the invitation of Christ this morning to confess your faith and to be baptized, we encourage you to do that. Or if you have a prayer request, we encourage you to let that be known, and we'll pray with you and for you. All together we stand and sing.